Greetings of love to all gathered here this morning. It's a blessing to have you here, and welcome to our visitors as well. Trust you can feel at home with us, and invite you to worship with us when it fits your schedule and possibilities to be here. This morning, we have a little different subject for a Sunday morning. This was an assignment given to me at another congregation, and I guess if they felt they needed some teaching about this, I thought, well, maybe it would be okay if we talked about it here as well. It might be a little different for a Sunday morning subject. However, I think it's very pertinent in the sense that most of us have contact or some perspective. I know this thing about change we heard about in Sunday school devotions. This is one of the changes that has occurred during the last 20 years. And because of that, I think we need teaching on it occasionally. Part of the message this morning has to do with friendship. And I didn't page back through to find the exact date, how many years ago it was, but I do remember some of you that were dating at the time that I had that message, and so it's been a while. But the title this morning is Building Friendships Amidst Social Media. Building Friendships Amidst Social Media. So to get started, and this, as I said, for a Sunday morning, it might be not the average or most normal type of subject, and maybe some of the illustrations will be accordingly, but this past summer, I was at a hunter safety course with our youngest daughter, and there was a group of young people came walking into that room that day to take the hunter safety course. Cadets, they're being trained to become game wardens and potential jobs in the state of Pennsylvania. They are training back here at Fort Indian Town Gap and some of the buildings that are back there. And as soon as they came in, I identified something very different about them. It was approximately 25 of them. There was conversation between them. There was interaction. They were answering questions in the audience when the teachers were teaching us about hunter safety. There was something very different, markedly different from what I'm used to seeing in society and from what I'm used to seeing, dare I say, among our own people sometimes. And they were sitting right on the road behind me. I just said, hey, so nice to see you people here today. I said, just a question. I noticed you don't have your cell phones with you. They said, absolutely not. When we joined this program, we put our cell phones away for 6 months. We can't even see them. We don't have them. And that is the difference right there. And I would just ask us this morning, I challenged anyone sitting here, and this man included, how many of us would lay our cell phone down for 6 months and say no more of it, just to be able to concentrate on spiritual training, on godliness, and things of that nature? Who's ready to volunteer for it? Immediately we'd have a million, not quite, but we'd have a lot of excuses why not. But there is a group of young people who, for a cause of an earthly kingdom, are laying down cell phones for 6 months to concentrate, to train, to dig in to their material, to dig into their studies. And how many among us would dare do it? A Bible school or a regiment or a missions training or something. Would we? And yet the difference was astounding. I could hardly believe the respect, the order. I'm quoting here. What is social media? Consists of websites and apps or applications such as Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube that enable users to create online communities to share information, ideas, and content like photos, information, ideas, and content like photos and videos. These platforms are used for various purposes, from personal communication to professional networking and marketing, but they also carry risks, including misinformation and addiction. And just in case you thought that these are just trivial things, at the time that I did this study, which was about September of last year, Facebook users worldwide are over 3 billion, 3.07 billion users worldwide. WhatsApp, anywhere between 2.95 and 3 billion. It's a little hard to determine where all, what all. That's in the 3 billion range for sure. And YouTube is 2.5 billion. Instagram is 2 billion. They say in social media, there's over 5 billion of other platforms, and all these combined, which is 63 and something for almost 64% of the global population. When we look at statistics like this, it's not exactly, how shall I say? But it just gives us an idea that multitudes and multitudes of people are involved in this type of thing. And I would dare say some of them are right here. All right, what is friendship? Building friendship amid social media. We already talked about social media a bit. The condition of being friends. A liking between friends. Friendly feeling or friendly behavior. That's friendship. A friend, then, is a person who knows and likes another person. A person who favors and supports. Friendship. And how do we build friendships when over 63% of the world's population is so deeply involved in social media and some strictly and seriously addicted to it? I think it is safe to say that among best friends there should be or there are a few secrets. When a true friendship is built, it stays intact regardless of the circumstances. However, if there is not common ground in Christian faith, we must hold that friendship on a different level than those who are of like precious faith. See, on this thing of social media, how many likes do you have? How many followers do you have? And give us a like. That kind of terminology comes through. And we want to be careful with that kind of thing, because who are those friends anyway? Who are we connecting with? And I was in some classes when I was in Kansas back in February. A brother who has been travels around giving teaching on this subject, and I might venture into some more of that in our accountability group. I shared with some of you a little bit about that. But these things are very, very real. And they're taking young people, innocent young people, and pushing them into all kinds of evil things all over the world. And even in plain communities. He told a story about a 14-year-old girl, and he said that, or maybe it's two girls in a given family, a conservative Mennonite family. Not to point at what group it was, that's not the point, but the point was that they knew that these girls had social media. And somebody told the parents, be careful. You do not know who your daughters are communicating with. You have no idea. And the disasters that happen, the kidnappings that happen, the stuff that happens because of people connecting on social media. And we must be careful, friends and folks, this morning about these things, because it's serious. If we are not in control of it, it will control us. I I said that our friendships remain intact regardless of what happens in a person's life. When somebody's going through a tough time in life, an economic disaster, maybe disruption in church life, one of the things that I try to tell them is this: just remember, my dear friend, whoever you are, that if your friends will still be your friends at the end of this journey. If they are fair weather friends, they'll be gone, but true friends will be there till when you get through this. When the last flame has burned, when the last accident has happened, when the last disaster in a church life, and it's so sad that it is this way, but it is in some cases, when the last thing has happened, true friends will still be true friends regardless. The fair weather friends will have long since been lost. If for whatever reason there is a breach in friendship or a breach in brotherhood, we must be very willing and ready to forgive the grievances that may have arisen to divide the friendship or the brotherhood. But trust and relationship to be rebuilt takes both sides working together. I want to make it very clear this morning that when there's a breach in friendship, especially if there was carnality that came in between or sin that came in between, the friendship can be there and should be there. And if there's a problem, it needs to be forgiven and taken care of. But my dear friends, this morning, forgiveness is one thing, and it's a must, and it's a divine command. But sometimes it takes a while to rebuild the trust. And it takes both sides working. Forgiveness can be from one side. You do not have to wait till someone who has done you wrong. You don't have to wait for them to come back and ask you for forgiveness. You don't have to wait. That is something you can do on your own. But if there's ever going to be a rebuilding of trust and relationship, it needs to be done from both sides. I want to go to several scriptures this morning, and I happen to remember that whatever years ago that might have been, I looked at some of these. I don't know if we looked at all of them. Proverbs 17:17, some common verses here. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A true friend loves regardless of what's happening in your life. A true friend will be there when everybody else walks away. A true friend will be there. And a brother is born for adversity. You know who your friends are, you know who your brothers are when there's a sad day in your life. I just got a notice this morning. Somebody asking, I just given you a little prayer request. I haven't heard from you for a couple months now. And he said something's going on. And the reason why is because there's a little friendship there. And a brother's born for adversity. Are you that somebody for somebody out there that they know they can depend on you when life is upside down and sideways? Are you that for somebody? I hope that you know who that person is in your life when you need it. We need friends. We need brothers and sisters. Verse 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. This needs to be taken in context with James chapter 5, verse 20. I'm probably going to refer to that, where it says that love covers a multitude of sins. You know, if you have a good friend, you're not going to be telling the whole world about every fault and flaw that they have. They're your friend. It's not talking about sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. It's not what I would take more to be faults. Things that are just peculiar about them. We don't need to broadcast that. If you want a friend, don't be telling them every last little thing that they did. It was a little bit obnoxious, a little bit queer. You know, I imagine some of us in marriage probably have faced a thing or three like that, or in other relationships that we consider dear. You know, and after a while, because they're our friend, we just keep it to ourselves, okay? And another verse we want to look at, Proverbs, is not so much looking at a context, some of it is, but most of it is just specific proverbs that apply. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Whisperer being one that's gossiping and spreading rumors. Believe it or not, rumors and gossiping separate friendships. At least they can. And a froward man soweth strife. And if someone's out to destroy a friendship and passing around rumors and gossiping, they're not a true friend. It might require some forgiveness, but they're not a true friend. Maybe they need friends, but it's a hard way to build friendships when there's rumors, gossiping, and a whisperer. I tell school children, it's one of the, when they ask, hey, have school devotions for us, you're here for a week of meetings, this is one of the first places I go. I say, children, what do you think if you're walking up to a group of boys or girls in the classroom, you get to school one morning, you see them, and about the time you come around, hi, and you know almost immediately that little whispering was about you. I'm telling you, that hurts when you're little, and it hurts when you're big. It hurts. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I think there's a couple things here we must remember. Some of we've already referred to, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the power of words. Words are very powerful. Words have power, and words have might. Words can cure, and words can smite. A little song that some of those first graders sang years ago. I am sorry, you are right. I was wrong, so let's not fight. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And most of us have been the objects of some type of gossiping, some type of rumors. And potentially we've done it ourselves at some point. Notice in the context of this very thing, it talks about finding a wife. Might have just a brief reference to that in a moment. The poor useth entreaties. I remember when we would need a loader tractor to load we didn't have a loader tractor at our farm in Tennessee as a teenager, and I would look around the farms and who has a loader tractor that I could use to load manure. We didn't have one, and we needed one often, and I would, sometimes you call a farmer, sir, can I use your tractor for a while? I want to rent your tractor. And you try to find a nice, polite way to ask, because I wasn't going to load manure spreader loads of manure. It just wasn't going to happen. And there were certain farmers that were very nice about that, and certain farmers that you would never ask them the second time. Okay? The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. And a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But it reminds us that there is a friend that's closer than a brother. And that's why we need Jesus, because ultimately he's the best friend, right? He's the best friend. I'm going to look at some more verses here. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 27, verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faith for the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, just because they're your friend doesn't mean they'll never give you some correction now and then. You know, some of my best friends are people that have needed to talk to me about something. But I know some people very well that if once someone gave them a word of admonition, a word of correction, they were forever and ever on a blacklist, kind of off here. That fellow at such and such a time, in such a place, in such and such an event, told me thus and thus. They're off. And they, I relate to that person, but I remember. But my dear friends, if we can take an admonition or a correction from a friend, it can make us better. None of us have ever been hurt by constructive criticism. None of us have ever, that's why some mechanics are better today than they were 5 years ago. That's why some cooks and bakers and housekeepers are better today, because somebody gave them a little constructive criticism. Teenage girls need to learn this because mom is trying to help them become better in their cooking skills, in their housekeeping skills, and taking care of their vehicle and building something on the farm or in the shop. If you never had any constructive criticism, you never got very far. But if that person that gave you constructive criticism somehow gets on your blacklist, you don't benefit either. And it causes a breach that God didn't want to have happen. It says, faith for the wounds of a friend. And this all ties into brotherhood and brotherly address. This is all combined after a while. It's simple teaching, and yet it really means what it says. Verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. There's a lot in these verses. It's interesting. Just take a young married person somewhere seated here in the audience. You meet up with somebody and they say, and who are your parents again? And then and about that time, oh yes, now I know who you are. You're son of, daughter of, and immediately there's connection, potentially. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go thou into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. I've got a brother that lives about 700 and so miles from here. You know, if a little disaster happens at our place, he's not going to show up the next minute. He ain't going to be here. But a neighbor will, okay? Somebody from the membership group potentially would show up. Give a hand. These verses like this mean what they say. And just because they're your parents' friends, they deserve to be in your circle of friends. They deserve to be in your circle of friends. If they were your parents' friends, the Bible says don't forsake them. They can be part of your friends' group. Another verse I want to highlight yet is verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, it's good for us to keep our ears tuned to helpful advice, to helpful admonition along life's way. It's helpful for us to do that. It helps us to become more prudent, wiser. And whenever somebody says, hey, be careful about this, be careful about that, and if we tune our ear to that and profit from that, it's all kind of tying together. This thing of admonition, constructive criticism, admonition, maybe correction sometimes. And this whole thing of friendship and what destroys friendship. Constructive criticism is not an equal par with gossiping or rumors or death in the power of the tongue. Good friends need to learn to visit together, pray together, sing together, testify together. Visit together, personal conversation, sharing and eating together. You know, that's one reason why sometimes we have a church picnic. It's a different atmosphere, but it's a way to build friendships, fellowship meals. It's something we do because it's not just to eat and sit there and just barely talk at each other. No, it's a time to share, visit. Go visit someone at their home. Learn to know them. Build friendships that way. That's all part of God's plan. But how does this tie into social media? How does this tie into social media? Building friendships. When I was a child, our neighborhood was safe and I played every day with my friends. We used our creativity and imagination, imagined our problem-solving skills, and developed healthy bodies. By the time my son was growing up, I rarely saw neighborhood children playing outside. The trend had shifted and the outdoors were perceived to be unsafe. I had to return to full-time work, which meant long days and less evening time to play and enjoy the outdoors with my son. The biggest mistake I made was purchasing him his first video game console. It started with rules and time limits, but as time progressed, so did the hours at the game controller. Maybe this isn't you, but maybe it is something that's on your phone or on your personal computer. It may be. At the beginning, it seemed like a win-win. He was interacting with children from all over the world and would casually socialize with his age group. He became good at some games and his confidence rose. I always thought that at some point he would find friends to play with in the neighborhood. Socialization had always been a challenge for him, and video games companies often build their products as a bridge to forming connections. Now, I feel he was denied the chance to develop healthy interactions. My son is 17 years old now. He will text all day long, but when he's around people, he does not know what to say or how to start a conversation. He says he's comfortable talking to people on the computer because he does not get bullied, but the flip side is he did not learn to work through those awkward childhood moments that are an opportunity for growth. If he never had the choice of online friends, would he have better social skills? Well, obviously we know that that's true. He would have. We have created a generation that expects things immediately and without efforts. It gives the illustration here about whenever in our generation, my generation, you had to use an encyclopedia, a dictionary, maybe some reference books to figure out almost anything. And now you just go on a couple clicks and it pops up all kinds of information. Google this, Google that, Google the next thing. But there's a couple problems. Number one, is it true? Do we know if it's true? Have you ever looked at a news line and it said this is AI generated, may contain errors? It might. We know that physical health is affected by screen time, especially eyesight, hearing, and weight. But we also need to consider how it attacks a child's soul. And I'm speaking of starting at this young age. And if you look around in society, you don't have very long to look. I was in PennDOT office on Friday morning, and I saw this little one, it was just learning to walk, and she was on a screen just like this. For a while, she didn't have it. She was walking around there, and the parents were waiting. They were talking to her in some other language, but that screen, after a while, was what kept her happy. Is that somebody you? You know, this is the world we live in. I'm going to take this to another level after I read some more verses. 2 John. This comes with a little story. I told you that the whole thing about finding a wife is somewhere tied into this thing of friendship. I knew, read this story when I was a young boy, maybe about 12, 13 years old. I read this story and I never forgot it. 2 John chapter 2 John verse 5. This young man wanted to ask a young lady. He was getting interested in her and thought she was a nice person to be with, and so he thought he would get more serious about the relationship, so he wrote her a Bible verse. 2 John 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another." That was what the young man wrote to his potential friend. That would be an interesting way to ask a girl, wouldn't it? Use a Bible verse. And that's what he did, exactly. He waited, and after a while he got a verse back. Verse 12, having many things to write unto you. This was what the girl wrote to the young man. Having many things to write unto you, I would not with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. That sounds like friendship. Is that okay? Is it okay to not only write it out in paper and ink, but to see each other face to face so that your joy may be full? You know, there's something about it teaches us about friendship, okay? And if you look at the last verse, or the second last verse of 3 John, it says something a little bit similar to that. But it's teaching us about friendship. If all of our friendships are done on text and calls, it's good to hear that voice. Yes, it is. But it's really good to see them face to face, one by one. It's really good. And I talked to a father some time ago about a courtship potential or something. We were talking and I said, you know what? That young couple really needs FaceTime. And that's exactly what I meant. See them, talk to them, hear their voice, observe them, be together. That's the way relationships can grow. Friendship can grow that way. But you know what? Social media has made it, and the technology of our day has made it so easy. And there is a conditioning effect. I'm going to use that term, borrowed from our Eastern brethren and some others. There is a conditioning effect of news, music, social media, and I know that our people, our standards, speak against gaming. I know that. That's why I was a little reluctant to use the reading that I did. But still, it is very, very, very close to us because we probably all associate with people that are involved in gaming or Sudoku or I'm not sure what all. But there's something about news, music, social media. And that is, if we're not really guarding ourselves, there's always a downward tendency. Always. Because as soon as you're there, there's something else and something else and something else catchy and something else to get your attention over here or over there. And after a while, you wonder, well, how did I get here? Well, what were we doing? There's plain people fashion magazines. There's forums, there's blogs about anything and everything. There is just about anything imaginable. The blogs that are about ex-Mennonites and ex-Amish, I see them way too often on even plain people in the news. And how somebody, I just read a couple weeks ago, this, I am now free from God, from religion, and from, I'm free. And used to be Mennonite, you know? And I'm not saying Mennonite's the only word. It was a specific religious group. But anyway, I'm free from it. And if you feed it that well, it takes you down that course. Maybe days later, maybe years later, but it takes you downward. There are many podcasters, many of those people. I was listening to that. And very famous speakers in some people's minds. And the home preacher, sorry, he doesn't have it put together compared to so-and-so. But let me tell you something. You never sat down at the table of that minister, that podcaster. You never probably know much about him except that he says some nice things. But my dear friends, it's part of God's plan and among his people that you know those that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. It's part of God's plan that you know their day-by-day life, at least to some measure. It's God's plan that the people that come in among us, we can know their life and their doctrine and how what they preach or teach comes out in practical practice. It's part of God's plan. And whenever we're listening to the podcaster so-and-so, and such a forum and such a blog, We have sometimes very little idea. Is it ever wrong? Am I saying it's bad? Not exactly, but we must know them who labor among us and are over us in the Lord. And sometimes I've found that there are youth and older ones who just revere so-and-so's words about such and such a subject. And yet, do we know if they're faithful to their wife, their first marriage? Do we know? Do we know what amount of deviance from Bible standard they actually live? They might have beautiful things to say, but it doesn't say that they believe in sound doctrine. It doesn't say that if we follow their example, we'll get to heaven. It doesn't say that. Right along with this, in social media and building friendships, most of us have seen within close family what happens whenever there's a deviance from the ways that of God, and modesty suddenly slides away, and things are allowed in their lives that are in showing disobedience to the scriptures. And as that photography comes across your statuses and profiles, what are we doing with it? On those contacts, on those profile pics, on those statuses, they leave a quiet influence. And maybe you're 50 years old and you've learned to master that. But what about the teenager in your home? How does it work for them? What about the 20-year-old? How does it work for them? Because I'm going to tell you something, those things of non-plane relatives, they wage an effect. They wage a heavy-duty influence on the younger generation. And they can, on those of us who are older, they can wage a heavy influence. And you wonder why it is that suddenly there's a family and there's, children just are taking turns away from godliness. How did this happen? You wonder why, you wonder how. But this social media thing in our friendships and our even family connections is very, very powerful. And the more you scroll Instagram and Facebook, and I know some of people, we have our standards about some of that, but I think most of us probably are exposed to it more than we like to admit. But let me tell you something, dear friends, this morning, and I've probably said this other times, if your life is here, you have a circle of contact that goes out from you. Just like if you drop a stone in a small pond, and you by what you post, I by what I post, you and I, you or I, put yourself in the center there. Day by day, year by year. And the amazing thing is that if it's just using me for that example, if it's my wife over here, or one of the children, they have their circle. Some of these circles overlap with each other. Some of these circles overlap a little bit like orbits. Some of them overlap. But each one of us has a specific sphere of influence. And the more we're posting, and the more we're putting out there, and the more we're advertising, and the more we're making ourselves vulnerable, we're spreading influence, and we're influencing others, just like others influence us. And I will just need to tell us this morning that for that influence, we stand very, very accountable. We stand accountable for that influence. Because every person down the benches, every person has a circle of influence. And that touches so many people. And it ever grows as life goes on. And although it might be you, it might be them, each person has specific influence that no one else has, or else you wouldn't be you, or they wouldn't be them. There's places where that overlaps. We have some of the same friends, but there's specifics, people that you know, they know, people they're related to that you're not, so on and so forth. And for that larger spread of influence, we stand accountable. We stand accountable. In closing, I'm going to call a couple scriptures to our attention. James chapter 5. Thinking about friendships, social media, its influence in our lives, the impact that we have or don't have, the accountability that we hold. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Just saying, that verse there is a good one for building relationships. It's a good one for building friendships. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. It's one thing to whenever there's some kind of health need or something to pop up them praying hands, but it's another thing to know that instead of that, somebody said, I am praying for you, and you know that when that news went out, somebody stopped what they were doing for a moment and said, dear God, be with my dear friend at this moment. It's one thing to pop up the praying hands, but I've seen it go out like that, and I really wonder how much praying actually got done. Okay? Proverbs 19:27 says, as we think about the influences that come into our homes by blogs and social media, news and music, podcasters, famous preachers, world-renowned preachers, as we think about that, Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. There is a lot of instruction, a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching, a lot of podcasters that can be giving us all kinds of information. But if we follow them, it will cause us to depart from New Testament and Bible teaching. It will, if we would follow that example, that teaching. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. I trust that these thoughts give us some food for thought regarding building friendships amidst social media. Those who care to me, kneel for prayer.